Good evening, everybody. Okay, let's start with the pledge. Leo, can you lead us in the pledge?
Sure. Ready to begin.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thanks, Leo. Okay, let the record show that Director Michelle Schneider is not here today. All the other directors are present. Can I have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
I'll second that motion.
All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All those opposed, the motion, the agenda is approved. First thing, number four, public comments. Anybody have any public comments? Okay. All right, let's start off with agency reports. Who's going to be the first agency?
Good evening. I'm Susan Drake from County Supervisor Lovengood's office, and just have some quick information and a request. The San Bernardino County Public Works Department is going to have a big project in April 2020 near the corner of Lone Pine Canyon Road at Sheep Creek, and it's a six-month project, so it will affect the community and residents. And they're hoping to have a public outreach workshop hopefully next month, right before your CSB meeting. So people will already be here. If they care to attend, they can come early. So if you could consider that and get back with me so Public Works can notify everyone and let them know the project before your next.
Is this the bridge that they're going to be doing?
It's described as removing an existing drainage structure, constructing an arch culvert and wing wall, and reconstructing 400 feet of roadway, and to regrade the areas.
Yeah, that'll be Sheep Creek Wash.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ready?
Yep.
All right. We just need another mic stand for you. There you go.
Good evening. I'm Sergeant Robert Bocari with the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department. Last month in the community of Wrightwood, we had 123 calls for service and 13 reports were taken. The high call volumes in Wrightwood were burglar alarms at 12, welfare checks at 10, follow-ups at 7, area checks at 6, and extra patrols at 6. Any questions about Wrightwood before?
Yeah, any arrests or anything? Any reports taken for actual crimes or?
Yes, there were 13 reports taken for crimes.
Okay.
And those reports were, you had 2 assault with a deadly weapon.
Okay.
Don't get excited. let's see, 2 assault with a deadly weapon, 1 vehicle burglary, 2 petty thefts, 1 attempted residential burglary.
So let's say, and so a petty theft is defined as anything below
$950? Anything below $950.
So it could just be anything, shoplifting, or, I don't know, they took some tools off my truck. Anything.
Right, your front yard.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And 1 death investigation and 1 stolen vehicle recovery.
So was it recovered or just it? And okay.
Yeah, recovered from here.
Okay.
And let's see. And the 2 arrests were for next time, if you're going to ask me, I'll highlight them so they're easier to find. One arrest for a weapon violation. I don't know any more.
Was it for probation or was it for? Doesn't say.
No. Was that from yesterday? The shots fired.
No, that'll be on next month's stats.
Can you comment on that?
Yes, somebody was shooting inside their garage.
Oh, okay. And was it an arrest made?
Yes.
Under what?
Under an assault with a weapon. Under a negligent discharge of a firearm.
Okay.
Yeah, he was arrested.
How do we find out details about that, about different incidents like that? You know, it's so often you see the highlight of something, but there's no way to follow up. We don't know if it was a guy out on, or a person out on probation, or we don't know any of these things. How does one find these things out?
You would have to come down and ask for the call logs for the specific.
So it's not posted anywhere online, nothing. You have to go down,
yes,
and then and somehow follow it.
Yes, and then there would be redacted call box. Names are taken out.
And even though it's public, though, right? I mean, if somebody's arrested and...
The arrest, you would have to talk to our records division, but names are redacted. I don't know if their probation or parole status is redacted. There's a lot of things that are redacted out of the call history.
So we just don't have the... And you can't find out? Like, they're just redacted and we can't find out?
That's correct.
Man, that is...
You can go online and get on the press release mailing list, and you'll get press releases from the Sheriff's Department email team.
So, yeah, but only if they want to highlight something, but if I'm interested in something, I can't find out. Right?
No.
Because I know there was a situation that happened at by Steve and my house. The Airbnb folks broke into the house up there up on Ash. They were there for a couple of days. A whole, I guess, four or five people rented an Airbnb and had their ways in some houses up here. So it's quite interesting.
I'm not familiar with that call.
Okay. All right.
Well, since you're asking, I will comment about the one assault with a deadly weapon because I was familiar with that call. It was just road rage. So somebody passed somebody on Highway 2 on their way to Wrightwood, and the person who got passed didn't like it, so they tried to pass them back, and the other car wouldn't let them back on their side of the road because they were faster, and they ended up sideswiping each other, and that car fled.
Wow.
So that would be an assault with a deadly weapon.
I see.
So, I mean, if somebody passes you over the WL line, is it really that important?
Yeah.
Probably not getting your car damaged and watching them drive away.
It's a bad day in traffic.
Then
on Highway 2.
Yeah.
And in West Cajon Valley, there were 30 calls for service and 2 reports taken, no arrests, and the reports were for one for a burglary and one for a lost license plate.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, item 6, consent calendar. We have regular board meeting minutes for July 2nd. Anybody look those over? Chuck, I'm looking at you. Did you look them over?
The first one was okay. I'm not sure.
August 6th. July 2nd, that might have been a correction or something that
yeah,
we had to put back
that was
in.
The additional.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So it was okay.
Okay. Can I have a motion to accept the consent calendar?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor of the consent calendar, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right. Consent calendar is approved. Item 7, General Manager's Report. Lori? Want to give us the highlights?
Okay. Basically, we met with the bank, signed the new bank card on the 20th. We received a new debit card. I sent the new financials over to LAFCO. same day for the 2018 financials. The 2019 financials went the next day. The board received a letter from the Lions Club thanking them for the variance for the game night. I met with Dan and Brent from CR&R to discuss CalRecycle and the reporting requirements. We've been recommended to encourage recycling on our website, and also that we set up a subcommittee that meets bi-monthly with at least one board member to discuss trash and recycling issues. It should be an open forum type of meeting, and it would satisfy a requirement for next year's type of reporting for CalRecycle. So we should do something about that. I need to put that on next month's agenda to submit that. Most of the rental agreements have been reviewed to verify insurance and security deposits, which there's a small report attached. And as a reminder, I will be on vacation September 12th through the 23rd and out of the country, but I will be reachable via cell phone.
So who's going to have the number? Tammy will have the 3205 phone with her?
Yeah, Tammy will have the 3205 phone,
okay.
But I also have my personal cell phone that I'll be able to be reachable by.
Okay.
So also we received a letter from LAFCO in regards to the service review. I spoke to them today in regards to both the financials on the 2018 financials and the 2019 financials. They're going to get back to me probably tomorrow. They're looking at possibly putting off the service review until October. Number one, because they haven't seen the 2019 financials and they may have some questions on it. So
okay.
I will have to get back to the board on whether or not they're going to put off that service review.
Okay.
You have copies of that letter in with all your paperwork.
So we'll just get that on next month's agenda.
Yeah.
Okay.
The CalRecycle, did we make the deadline on that to get
yes,
it into the state? Or?
Yes, we did. Well, actually, we didn't, but Brett had already talked to them to let them know that we wouldn't make the deadline, but we did finish all the paperwork and get it to them, and they were fine with that.
Okay. That's great. Great work on that. That's good. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
So we can, is there a date that we have to, when do we have to start these recycling meetings and all that?
There's no specific date that we need to start them, but they did suggest that we start moving towards putting something on the website and actually doing
okay.
some type of recycling meeting.
Okay. Can you put that on next month's agenda?
Yes, I will.
And we'll get on it then. All right, thank you. Okay, item 8, Edie and Payne Auditor Report for 2018 and 2019.
Hi, I'm Roman Scott with Edie and Payne. We completed the...
Yeah, you got to speak directly into that mic. I apologize. It's just the way it works. You can just take it out of the stand if you can. There you go.
Is that better?
You got to speak right into it.
Yeah. Is that better?
Yeah, that's better.
Okay. I'm Roman Scott with Edie and Payne. Our firm did the audit for June 30, 2018 and 2019. I'm going to talk about the internal control letter that you all received. Part of our audit is we go through the internal controls and consider whether the controls are effective. With this audit for 2019, we did find some deficiencies.
Okay.
One of the deficiencies was when we were reviewing the revenue and expense classifications and fund allocations, there were some misposings with that. We have talked to Lori about that, and she's going to be reviewing the financial statements on a monthly basis.
Okay.
And reviewing the various funds that we have problems with.
Uh-huh. Okay.
One of the other deficiencies was the staff did not have, they needed some assistance in determining adjustments for accounts payable, the accruals, prepaid expenses. There was an outside accountant that was, we thought, going to perform those duties.
Right.
That did not always happen. So we're recommending that it's done more timely and on a regular basis. Again, we talked to Lori about it, and she's going to be doing some of that, those adjustments.
And is that something you feel you can do, Lori? Without
yes.
the, I mean, this is, you're an accountant, so that's
yes.
very helpful.
Yes. I talked to Edie and Payne. It's basically, I'm going to be doing those on a year-end basis.
Okay. And so I think we're month-to-month with our CPA, right?
Yes, we are.
Okay. And so do we want, so we don't need that, I guess. We don't need that anymore.
That's item 13 on the
yeah.
agenda.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Okay. So one of the other letters that we have forwarded to the board, and everybody should have a copy of, is talking about we have to point out what the corrected and uncorrected misstatements for the financial statements were.
Yeah.
Just looking at everything has been corrected. We made all of the corrections. There was $67,000 that was improperly classified to property taxes rather than
on the
special assessment.
On the income side, so it got shifted from one to the
correct.
Other. Yeah.
Correct. There were some fund expenditures that should have been in street lighting and parks and were in solid waste.
So it's just it didn't change any of the bottom line numbers, but the stuff needed to be categorized.
On those, yes.
Okay.
It did not. It just went
right.
from one fund to the other.
Right. Okay.
There were some accounts payable that were not recorded, and that increased the expenses in the solid waste. So that one was not allocated between the two. It was just affecting
yeah.
solid waste.
Yeah.
And then prepaid insurance was not booked for the parks and street lighting. So
how okay. does that work, Wes? Is there like a percentage goes into that street lighting and a small percentage?
On the expenses, yes. We had asked, we can't make that determination. That comes from you. So
yeah.
you would take your whatever you've budgeted and come up with a percentage for anything that's not a direct expense.
Okay.
So we were given percentages, and that's what we used.
Right.
Now, as far as the revenue, you get documents that say what the revenue is. It's just important to look at whatever you're receiving and make sure that's an assessment.
It's just direct versus indirect expense, right? It's either going to be in the general stuff, you know, it might be in there instead of being allocated in particular to this
right,
category.
Right. Well, and even some of the expenses were allocated just depending on like labor. That's
yeah.
not a direct. It's an allocation based on
what we feel is the,
feels, yeah,
time,
the time
spent
spent
on that.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and on the revenue, it's just making sure the documents are looked at and make sure if it's property tax that goes here and if it's streets that goes to the other.
Right. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Any other big deficiencies? Anybody? I mean, the controls seem okay.
Yeah. Those were the only problems that we had, and
so it's not bad.
Everything's been fixed.
Yeah. Okay. Good.
Debbie is going to now present the financial statement.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here with you today. Lori has said just a very brief comments on the statements here, but Chuck mentioned on the way in that he has trouble reading these financial statements, so I thought I might just walk through what you have in front of you there.
Okay.
And I'm only looking at the 2019 because it is imperative. So you've got 2018 and 19 there both together. So on your statement of activities,
20, for 19 appears on page 4. First of all, before we get to even the statement of activity, or statement of deposition, wanted to say that what we've issued is what they refer to as clean opinion, saying your financial statements are in accordance with generally accepted accounting principles. So that's the type of report you want to have. There's no qualifications, no issues regarding your financial statements.
Yeah, before you go into the actual numbers, on page 2,
yes.
Under other matters,
yes.
We have management has admitted management discussion analysis of the accounting principles generally accepted. You say it doesn't affect the, I guess, the bottom line or anything like that, but what have we omitted that we're not
okay.
doing?
For governmental financial statements, there are a series of items that management is supposed to prepare an analysis that would actually be presented after the opinion, but before the basic financial statements. And they would do summaries of comparative information. They would talk about future things that, you know, there are several items that there are to be included in management discussion and analysis. It's not part of the audit at all. We have to read the management discussion analysis to see that it doesn't conflict with the information in the audited financial statements, but it's not really part of the basic financial statements. It's supplementary information.
Is that something, Lori, that you would do from by direction from the board or in the future?
I can.
Type of thing?
I can.
Okay.
So it's not uncommon.
Is that done on an annual basis?
Yes, it's done on an annual basis, but it's not uncommon for small districts not to provide that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So in general, I think that you have to report anything that's not GAAP, right?
Correct.
Like, hey, this is part of GAAP. This you're missing this part of GAAP.
This is not even GAAP.
Okay.
Because the financial statements as a whole, we have a clean opinion on the financial statements.
Yeah, okay.
Omission of information does not affect our report on the financial statements.
Okay.
We just have to make note of the fact that you've chosen not to present it.
Okay.
So,
okay. So we can or cannot.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right.
Right.
It would be better too, but it's not required.
It's supposed to be helpful in understanding the financial statements.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
So, as we're coming in, Chuck mentioned that it's very difficult to understand these government financial statements. So, just a very quick overview in that you really have two sets of financial statements. You have the government-wide financial statements. It's the statement of net position and statement of activities, and then you have fund financial statements. And they present mostly the same information, just in a little bit different format and with some different information. So your government-wide financial statements include your fixed assets, and it would include long-term debt. Those items are not included in fund financial statements. The fund financial statements are presented based on current financial resources and what it takes to operate and run the organization on a current basis is the way it's looked at. So the government-wide ones are very much like you would have for a for-profit business. Everything is recorded on a full accrual basis. The fund financial statement being on a modified accrual basis. So if we look, I'm going to skip.
And so what is the purpose of that? What is the purpose of that? Because I think I'm lost on the reasoning.
The reasoning? For many years, they just had fund financial statements.
Yeah.
And the argument there was for funders or bondholders or whatever, we don't know what your liabilities are because you don't tell us
they
what
leave
your
that
liabilities
out.
Are.
So you have this credit card out there somewhere.
No, credit card.
I mean,
you
this bond that you got to pay.
You have long, you know,
okay.
Notes payable. You have leases. You have all of this stuff. I don't know what you have. I also don't know what you have in the way of assets because none of your
fixed assets are recorded.
Isn't that just a basic income and balance sheet, though? I mean, why wouldn't that stuff at all be on the balance sheet?
It's not in the fund's financial statement.
Really?
That information doesn't appear there.
Hmm.
So that's why you ended up with 2 sets. One set, I want something that looks more like a business would run.
I see.
And then the fund people say, to operate my organization, I need to have this fund information because it tells me what's coming due soon, how much funding I have available, and that kind of stuff to operate. So it's just two different perspectives.
And so it's required GAAP to have both of these things.
It is required GAAP for governmental organizations, yes.
So it's just a way of saying we want everything on that balance sheet.
Yeah. Well, you have a balance sheet, which is your fund statement.
Yeah.
Which does not have the fixed assets.
Yeah.
You have a statement of net position that does have the fixed assets.
Got it.
Okay. Now, for you, the business type activities, which is your solid waste, they're both on the full accrual basis, so there's really no difference there. So it's only your governmental funds that there's a difference between
property tax and the property tax, you mean, or the when you say your governmental funds, I don't know what you mean.
The governmental fund is the parks and the lighting.
Oh, I see.
That's governmental, and that's the one that's funded by property taxes as opposed to
yeah.
the special assessment.
So that is in that other system.
That one is. You have differences in between the modified accrual and in the fund,
okay.
in the governmental fund, and then the
okay.
full accrual in the government-wide. So just looking at your net income, if you will, it's a change in net position for 2019. You had a decrease in net position for your governmental activities of just under $3,000. So not a big decline, but it is a decrease. Your business type activities or your solid waste fund had a surplus of $96,000.
Yeah.
Your net position, which is the bottom line there on page 6, shows you have $560,000 of net position for your governmental and $178,000 for the business type activities. Now, the business type activities were new as of last year. So the first year you had $82,000 of surplus, the second year $96,000 of surplus, and that's where it leads you to the $178,000. If we
But that, I mean, but it's important to understand this does not mean cash in the bank, right?
Not totally.
Right.
Is it cash in the bank? But
right.
there is
some of it.
Some of it is.
Yeah.
Okay, if we flip, and I'm ignoring the balance sheet information. We flip over to page 10. Here's where you have your governmental funds for the parks and streetlights. And this one shows 18 and 19 side by side. So you can see that the you had an excess of revenues over expenditures in 18 of 19,000, and your revenues were less than expenditures by $17,000 in 2019.
Now, was that due to some recategorization, or what was that? What was that from?
Just your expenses were higher than what your revenues were. I don't know specifically. Salaries and benefits had increased.
Yeah. Yeah.
Double.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There it is, right there.
Your recreation fees.
Mm-hmm.
Expenses were up a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is just strictly for parks and streetlights.
Correct.
Okay,
so this one is strictly for parks and
which streetlights would have no...
Yeah.
No, that's
the that would be the same. Unless they raise it. I mean, I see the electrical. It's not any higher.
Then, if we flip over a couple more pages, the next page here...
Wait, did you have a question?
Yeah.
on
that chart? Yeah, going back to number six.
Page six?
Yeah, page six, excuse me.
Got it, that's fine.
We're basically saying that in, what is this, June 30th, 2019, that our, you say changes the net position, but that's our, excuse my,
net loss.
Knowing that, yeah, I mean, that's basically what we said. We got revenue, we got expenses, and what you're saying for that year, we made $93,000?
93. Yes, on a combined basis, but you really have to look at each fund separately. You can't just say it's one number. So the business type made money and the governmental lost a little bit. Not much.
But the total was 93,000.
Correct.
All right. Let's do the parks.
Yeah. Now, I skipped over page 7 when we did last time, and there's one item that I should really touch on there. You can see your program. Well, your change in net position before the special item was about a loss of about $12,000 for the governmental and the $82,000 of revenues for the business type.
You just lost me. I'm sorry. What was page
7?
Okay.
Yeah. But you have a special item there of $575,000. And that was the assets coming over from the county.
All the real estate.
All the real estate and all, you know, your
I see.
Net assets.
Okay.
So that's what that special item is.
I
and there's
see.
A footnote that describes what that is. But
okay.
That's a one-time deal that you will not have again.
Right. Later. Right.
So we looked at page 10 a little bit and looked at the differences there. And on page 11, if you ever want to know how there's a difference or what the differences are between the government-wide statements, there's a statement here that reconciles the change in fund balance to the change in net position and tells you what the components were. So you can look at that and understand why the two are different. Yeah.
Okay.
So now it's your proprietary fund.
Yeah, so all this real estate, for example, that $540,000.
Right, you've got depreciation, you've got acquisition of assets, you've got different things there.
Right, okay.
So again, looking over at, let's look at page 13. Yes. Your operating revenues, you can see here that the change in net position is the same as it is on the government-wide. It's the 96,000 in the current year and 82,000 in the previous year. So.
Okay, and those add up to 178 is how you get that.
Yes,
okay.
It comes up to the 178.
That makes sense.
You also have a statement of cash flows here, and there's other information. But that, I think, shows you you've got a very, very healthy fund.
It's healthy, right.
In the proprietary fund, in the solid waste, for being brand new, you've got a very solid fund balance there, or net position.
Right.
In the street lighting, your revenues and expenses are running neck and neck here. So you need to make sure that you're paying attention to the allocations of expenses. You want to make sure that if there are things that really should be chargeable to the solid waste, that they get charged to solid waste and don't end up being charged against the street lighting.
That seems easy.
So what do we have, 13 streetlights?
Something like that,
23.
And
thanks,
Art. And parks are very in that fund as well. So.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's good. I mean, it's it's good news. It's everything looks healthy and strong. I mean, that was the idea from the beginning. Okay. Okay.
Go back to page 27.
Okay.
This is supplementary information.
Correct. So for governmental funds, for the general fund, it requires a budget to actual analysis as part of government reporting standards. So your question is,
why on this page do you have the fund balance beginning $45,000 and the fund balance ending at $28,000?
Because this is just your general fund. This is just the governmental fund, the parks and the street lighting. It does not include the solid waste. So this matches page 4. The governmental activity.
Yeah,
column.
I saw that aspect of it. So you're breaking it down.
You're really splitting it.
You don't have a complete overview.
It's not a complete overview of your operations as a whole, no.
Okay.
But
is there any page in here that shows that?
Well, yeah. Page 4 shows that. But not compared to budget. I mean, the only required allocation comparison to budget is for your general fund, the governmental street lighting and parks in this case. Now, we do recommend highly that you budget for your solid waste also, but it's not a required disclosure to include that comparison in the financials.
Okay. Anything else, Chuck?
No, I got no clue.
Leo?
I don't have any questions.
Okay.
No, I'm good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
When the auditor says you're good and healthy, then I'm healthy.
I don't know. Page 4?
Okay, no more questions on that. We'll move on. You okay with that, Chuck? I don't want to move on unless you're...
Well, the total net position, $738,000.
Well, but that includes all the real estate.
Yeah, I guess we don't have to worry about our $800,000 copay. We're close.
Right.
Believe this.
Okay. All right. Item 9, August 2019, financials. I did not look at these. Did anybody look at these?
So I don't know. I haven't looked at them either.
And this should have. Are you currently making those entries?
No, I am not.
Okay.
In fact, the bank statement for August was not available as of this morning.
Okay.
And the financials are not complete in the QuickBooks as
okay.
of this morning.
This is just the disbursement.
This is
the financials.
No, these are not the financials. These are just the disbursements and the deposit. This is just the current bank balance and the actual financials.
I'd like to carry this over to the next month, okay, because then we'll have that stuff. And you will have made corrective entries, and we can get a real good look at it, okay?
Correct.
Also, okay. Like to see the hours.
The hours are on the second page. Down. Do you see the hours?
Yeah, I assume it's this one, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Are we good?
Yeah.
We're good for now?
Yeah.
I mean,
for now.
We're going to review it in more depth next month. Okay. Item 10, Park and Recreation Event Coordinator Report. Hi, Monica.
Okay. So, Monica Shirelli. So we have 12 teams set up to start fall ball this Sunday. We're collecting the money this week and they'll get all going. We're having the Home Run Derby on October 5th. I just released the flyer on Facebook and all that. And Mr. Kennedy and his law firm agreed to sponsor the event, so we're really grateful for that.
Wow. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Steve.
That's pretty great. Pretty cool.
Which is really cool because the ball that we got to that council doubled to go to the softball league.
Well, teams with the softball, Monica?
Yes. Say that again?
Did he sponsor us? Or would we clap it?
He's the Home Run Derby. He's helping buy the equipment.
Oh, he's buying the equipment. Okay.
Yeah.
That was clear.
Let's see where I'm at. So, teen activities, I'm still working on that. Trying to talk to teenagers. I'm getting information for a cornhole league. You guys will have more of a write-up on that next month on the financial. So I'm looking to start that after softball ends, maybe in November for a few weeks. But there's been a lot of discussion and excitement for that one, which is kind of shocking. sorry, I didn't expect that, but yeah. Skate park event, I'm looking for November, and you'll definitely get more information on that next month. And I've been working with Al a little bit on the grant for the sports complex area. And then the gravel grinder has a meeting at the end of the month with somebody to talk more about that, to try to get maybe that going for the 2020. But it looks like those, if you do it right and you get enough people set up, people are saying that that's like $20,000 to $30,000 revenue. So that's kind of exciting, and I'm hoping that when I meet with them, it'll match up really well with our town. And I think that's it. I don't have financials really on here. And so I stopped day 10 for my surgery, and I can't do numbers right now. I'm really sorry.
Okay, we will need those next month, though, okay?
Yeah.
Because, we live and breathe that.
I understand that. I just can't match numbers right now.
Okay.
And you don't want to match numbers.
I just wanted to compliment you on the flag football. That was our first kids program of Kids League, and it was very successful, so I just wanted to thank you for that because I know there are many parents who appreciated having the opportunity to stay up here and also not do regular football with the risk of concussions and whatnot. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
All right, very good. Any other questions?
No, thank you very much.
Thank you, Monica.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm not sure if you want me to sit down or do my stay up for the normal part.
Next agenda. Oh, right, the Under Armour contract, right.
So,
now this is an agreement that whereby you could have people register online. You told me before the meeting.
Yeah, so people can register online. They get a shirt. I pay $14 for shirts for each kid this season. For flag football, they also give equipment for each team. They give belts. They give a lot of that stuff was donated to us, but it's not all of it was in the greatest condition. They also give notoriety to the league. There were a lot of people that are like, "Hey, are you a part of Under Armour? What are you a part of?" And people typically pay for the name in flag football, which is kind of interesting. But my main thing is online registration. I spent a lot of hours getting registration from people and hunting people down and meeting up with people to try to get registration.
So they have an online?
They have an online system, yeah. So, I mean, I just kind of wanted to see what you guys thought about the contract.
Well, there was some question about the contract, right?
Yes, and there's a lot of questions.
And Steve, I think you reviewed it and you had some concerns, Monica was telling me?
Yes.
That's correct, yes. Monica had provided this contract to me a few months ago, and a number of the concerns that I had raised with her were kind of actually covered in the email that we received from Mr. Hallmark regarding the kind of the strange nature of the relationship that would exist between the district and Under Armour, where the district would be the subcontractor. And so we would be working under a subcontract agreement with Under Armour, which is the exact reverse of what we normally see in the relationship, where we're the owner, we dictate the project, and we bring in someone to do the work for us. Here, we would be working for Under Armour. So it's a very, it's the reverse of the typical relationship.
Why do they want to do that?
Because if looking at the language of this agreement, they're in absolute control of everything.
Yeah.
This agreement is entirely one-sided. The duty, there's whole sections of the duties that the district would have to satisfy, and there isn't any reciprocity, with respect to what they have to do. The only language in the entire agreement that talks about what Under Armour will do is a one sentence saying that that we will pay them $25 per player for UA flag services, and then they have an addendum that talks about what their services would be. But there isn't the same textual predicate for the nature of the services being provided. And additionally on section 4, B1, Romulet 1 and 4, there's, again, no reciprocity. They would have the ability to terminate the agreement essentially at will, but we don't have that ability. Sections 5 and 6 deal with confidentiality, and as a public agency, you are bound by the California Public Records Act, which dictates the level of confidentiality that you can agree with. Typically, what you will see is you can have confidentiality clauses, but there will be language that would say, subject to any legal requirement or judicial order, something of that nature. And there isn't that language in 5 or 6. And then maybe, one of the worst offenders is Section 7, which is the covenant against competition. If we were to enter into this agreement and then at some point want to terminate, and again, the only way we could terminate is if both sides agree or there is a breach. See, we'd have to argue that there was a breach by Under Armour, which is kind of a, they've got the ability to terminate at their will. We would have to show that there was a breach of the agreement in order for us to terminate, or it would have to be done by mutual agreement. So in the event that there is a termination, then for 12 months we would not be able to enter into a contract with anyone else. So they have this covenant against competition that would prevent us from entering into another contract with someone else for 12 months. And then Section 11 deals with indemnification. Normally that clause is mutual. Each side indemnify the other for their acts or omissions that cause liability. This is only a one-sided indemnification where we would provide the indemnification for that. So I have had conversations with Monica about this. I think my recommendation would be that perhaps Monica can see if there are any other agreements floating around out there. If there's what else can be done, if we're stuck with Under Armour as a contracting party, or if there's something else.
It just seems so far off. It's not even close to a red line thing, there's no way. I mean, they're just completely philosophically.
Yes, that's probably right. I agree with that.
Can I ask a question? Would you have anybody at your office that would be able to create an online registration on our website?
Yeah.
That we could probably try to get up within the next couple months, or something that wouldn't take a long time? Especially if I noticed in the thing a few items down, she's going to talk about the idea of taking credit card and debit card.
If I knew what the registration, what exactly you were looking for, I just don't know what.
I can meet with you and
work
that out if that would work.
Yeah,
I just need something because I can't.
Okay.
I mean, the amount of hours essentially is not.
We have a lot of tools. We have a lot of things we could do. So.
Will it basically be like e-signing a liability waiver for the child, collecting money, and just inputting the child's information?
I don't know. I registered my kid for Mountain High last night, and you're not allowed to e-sign for Mountain High, so I don't know if you can e-sign for kids, but something similar to that. I would have to talk to Steve about
the legality of you signing. But yeah, so
and then you, well, what, well, what does the Under Armour site do as far as the registration for you that saves you all that time? What does it
they,
do? For you?
You go and you register. You pay. You know, they do the online liability form, so I guess you can.
Okay,
that.
So you do
and
that.
Then, yeah. So there's just the whole process, and then they collect all the information, and then they hand you like a data sheet, which and you can go in online, and it just makes it a lot easier.
Do they bring this data sheet with them? You know what? I could discuss all this.
Let's not do design here at this meeting. That's fine. That works.
Yeah.
So if that's something that we can do, I can email you.
Okay.
Email. I mean,
there could be something already out there that we could find that's open source that we could just use.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Monica.
Thank you, Steve, for that analysis.
Thank you.
Item 12, Wrightwood Historical Society Facility Use Agreement. Discussion of possible action.
I'll try and jump in on this one.
Okay.
As you may recall, at the last board meeting, we presented this agreement to the board. The only area, there were a few blanks that were included in that document, and the exhibits had not yet been prepared. Your general manager has prepared those exhibits and provided the information to fill in the blanks. So you have the sort of a hand-drawn sketch map of the area that would be subject to use from the Historical Society, as well as an operating plan that would be exhibit B.
Okay.
So myself or staff would be glad to answer any questions before we have.
That's on page 34.
Do you have a comment, or are you from the Historical Society?
Yes.
Come on up.
I'm Lee Barney with the Vice President of the Historical Society. There are a couple of items in here that may need clarifications or whatever.
Okay.
First off, I think originally when they were dealing with the county, on the first page, on page 26, it says 450 feet. I think that's just the front office that sits in. We've taken over the refurbished the upstairs into a living quarters and existing living quarters for the firemen. So I don't know if that makes a big deal or not.
So you're saying that would need to be corrected? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I would imagine that it can't be used for anything other than at the present state as part of the museum.
So yeah.
The museum is actually larger than
the
okay.
That number came directly from the old agreement. If there's a different number, then
is it maybe the number right above it, 1,800 square feet?
Well, it's really not 1,800 square feet because there's one area is used for other public meetings, so or.
Could we get
the 1,800 square feet refers to the entirety of the building, and then the 450 square feet refers to the
a meeting area,
the museum part of it.
Could we just go over there and measure it and get the right numbers? And
yeah, I can.
Could you do that?
I could do that and supply that to her.
Okay, that'd be great.
Okay,
and we could just fix that.
That'd be great.
All right. So this agreement is basically ready to go, except for those numbers. So we could approve this agreement with the caveat that those numbers would be corrected.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Does the CFC provide weekly cleaning of the building at this time? Oh.
But the
meeting room? Okay, thank you.
And this would just strictly be for the front part of the museum here, the upstairs, and the two back sections, right? It wouldn't include this because we rent that out to a lot of different people. It's not just the historical museum. Fire Safe Council, CERT, AA, there's a lot of different organizations that use that portion.
Right, that's where you're referencing the 450 square feet. He's going to remeasure that area.
Right, no, I understand that. But if we're making them liable for, you know, things that are broken or whatever, I don't care. I mean, that's better for us. But it's kind of interesting to hold them liable for stuff where they're not responsible for that area.
No, that's not what we're doing at all in this agreement.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's not in there. If you look at Section 3, it talks about the society's use of the premises. The premises is a different definition of property and different definition of building. So the property is the entirety of the property.
Okay.
6,000 cedar feet. The building is the 1,800 square foot building, and the premises is defined as the 450 square foot portion of the building. So the use in Section 3 states that it will be strictly limited to the display of town artifacts and the operation of a museum in a reasonable, lawful manner that is not otherwise inconsistent with the terms of this agreement.
Okay.
And that relates to the premises. Additionally, subject to the prior written approval of the district, the society may use the remainder of the building as an area for workshops, receptions, etc.
Right.
So, and that's at the discretion of district staff. And so if there's other activities going on that would be inconsistent with that, then that would be up to the district to decide. The liability as far as what the, you look at Section 12, the liability that the society would have relates to the premises and any portion of the building in which they have conducted activities.
So it's segregated.
Yes, it's segregated.
Right.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. Any other questions? Can I have a motion to accept this agreement with the disclaimer that we're going to tidy up some of the actual numbers here?
So moved.
I second it.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right. The agreement is approved. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Also, if any of you haven't been over there yet, we sure would invite you over. We're open every Saturday from 10 and 4. Or if you'd like to take a special tour, we can arrange that stuff. So.
All right.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you.
Thanks, Lee.
Okay, item 13, payroll and bookkeeping method, discussion of possible action. Lori, this is, I think you had some comments on this item.
Yes. On the June 2019 meeting, the topic of a change in payroll processing was tabled. ADP reached out to update the quote we received. The current quote for ADP enhanced payroll is $57.70 for payroll, which is $115.40 per month, or $1,384.89 per year. That will include all tax filings, direct deposit, or actual checks. The actual checks can be already pre-signed with signing images. HR.
Do we do direct deposit now?
No, we do not.
Yeah, and that is a big deal. Because you get, you know, paycheck that goes right in your bank account. It's great.
Yes. I think it's great. I checked with both employees, one other employee is definitely on board, one other employee is on the fence. So it's definitely something that is of interest. The quote that we got is good for as long as we have it. The prior quote was only good for a year. The current quote is good for as long as we have ADP. The only caveat is it's only good for as long as we have three employees. If we get another employee, the quote will go up. And, of course, there will be cost of living adjustments.
Right.
It also includes HR.
Right. That HR resources that
there
they have.
There we go. HR resources. And then that's actually an increase of $445 per year over our current provider. And
the whole thing or in addition? So it's an increase of $445.
In addition to what we're currently paying.
Yeah, okay.
Per year.
Yeah.
So, okay. But that means I can do payroll online, so I can just send everything over to them automatically via online, and the payroll would be there the next day.
Yeah.
If they had direct deposit, if they were chose to do check, it would be there the next day.
And I personally love the HR resource. That's just calling them up. You know, sometimes you get these questions. You know, I don't know. Do we pay for that holiday? You know, you're not. You're just unsure. And you call them up, and they will answer the question. It's a pretty nice resource.
I did have a labor question. I had to call Steve.
Because the government thing a little different.
Well, I would say the labor question would have been something they could have answered like right off the top of their head. Would have taken them about 5 minutes.
Right.
So.
Okay.
It would have been very helpful.
What does Steve charge you? A couple hours?
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think I've seen
that. Depends how hard he is.
He's a good sponsor.
That's right. He had to pay for the sponsorship.
I didn't say yes.
Just kidding, Steve.
You know, it does give us automatic check signing that we don't currently have. You have to call a board member to sign any checks.
If one of your employees chooses not to do direct deposit, they can still have the
paper check.
They just get the check.
They just get the check.
They could do both.
The check would be delivered via FedEx, I believe they said.
Yeah. Hmm. It's a beautiful resource because you can look online and see what's going on 3 months ago. I mean, it's just great.
Yeah. Can the employees call their HR department with ADP?
It's
just simply management.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's simply management, but there is online reporting for both employee and employer. So we can do various types of reporting.
Well, I like that they'll even come out for free. Look in your, I know it seems silly, but they'll come out and look at all the signs you got on the wall that's mandatory that you have to put up.
Oh, they provide those.
They not only do they provide them, they'll come out and audit you and go, yeah, you know, you really need to put this one over here. Because there are specific rules for believe me, every single thing. And I just think they're a great resource.
Yeah. I've used the ADP Run product that they gave us a quote on. It's very easy to use.
Yeah. Okay, so the question is, do we want to give you the authority to carry this, to do this thing?
I think we should. Do we want to do it prior to her leaving on vacation or after she gets back from vacation?
Well, she can do it when she can take her choice of when to implement it. And we should do it now at this meeting if we're going to.
Okay.
Up to her.
Yeah. All right. Can I have a motion to change our payroll company to ADP?
So moved.
A question before we do it. It's payroll and bookkeeping. The bookkeeping is our monthly financials and things that Cecilia is doing, or what?
There is a second part. There is a second portion to this, yes.
So
we're going to break this up, right? We're just going to be paying
first.
I'm
throwing it out there and asking. I'm okay on the ADP portion, but I don't know if we're ready to move the other right.
Okay, well, we'll discuss that, but I want to move on the ADP thing.
Yeah,
get that. That seems separate to me.
Yeah.
So we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Yeah, I think Natalie's second.
Okay. Okay. All those in favor of the motion to move to ADP payroll, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right. Motion carries.
Now section B.
Now part B. Right. So part B. Bookkeeping method. You want to comment on that, Lori?
Yeah. Also, as part of that same June 2019 meeting, there was also the change in bookkeeping was tabled as well, moving from using an outside CPA for doing the books. With the annual audit, that brought up the outside CPA, moving away from using the outside CPA. With using an annual audit, there's really not necessarily a need to use a monthly CPA outside service. Last year, you spent $11,000 on an outside CPA service.
Right.
Currently budgeted to use $6,000 for an outside CPA.
And we didn't count on this big number for the audit.
I'd say you paid...
$24,000.
EDM paying $6,000 to move your QuickBooks from the cloud services to a desktop service.
Right, because QuickBooks just did not have the features and the ability to do what
correct.
They needed.
Use
and
it.
So we spent $6,000 more to get that moved off.
Correct, to a fund accounting service.
Yes.
So,
yes. But I'm also talking about that we didn't count on this $14,000 spending with EDM Payne. I don't remember that. That wasn't part of the budget. We didn't know it would be that high.
I think it was the budget like $11,000 or something?
No, I don't think it was that high. It was six.
So we paid them $14,000 for the first year and $10,000 for the second year.
Yeah,
so
right.
So we have paid them the $24,000. I can't remember what the third year is.
So what you're saying is we don't need a CPA. An outside CPA, so we could you could make those entries in, and since we have an auditor and an audit we have to do every year anyways, they correct it anyway.
Correct. The only thing is on item number 14 is a software upgrade.
Yes.
That,
well, we'll get to that.
We would need to be
yeah.
doing that.
Yeah. Okay. So the idea is that we're on a month to month agreement with. Celia, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So we could give notice on that. Is there a 30-day notice, or what kind of a notice is there?
It would be professional to give a 30-day notice.
I know, but what does the agreement say?
There was no agreement, but
okay.
It would be professional to give a 30-day notice.
Hmm. Okay. All right, so the idea would be that we would give notice, and then you would make the entries on your own.
Correct.
And we would depend on the audit to fix up whatever, just like they did this last time.
Correct, but I don't anticipate them being that many.
You'll be perfect, right?
I can't swear to being perfect, though, but I'm not perfect.
Okay.
Isn't that line item $6,000 what we budgeted for? Outside services.
You budgeted $6,000. She has already done some work for you, so there will be some expense, but it should not be that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, do we need a motion for that, Steve?
Yes.
Okay. Are we ready to go on this? You have any questions?
Are we talking about giving her a 30-day notice today?
Yeah.
On the financials?
Yeah.
Portion or bookkeeping?
Right.
Yeah,
all services. So we're going to move to ADP and then the bookkeeping part.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any questions?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Can I have a motion to give notice and cancel our contract, our current outside CPA contract, and take it in-house?
So moved.
Yeah, I'm sorry. A question in the sense of this takes us until October 2nd. We have financials during the month, the whole bit, if we give her 30 days. Does she do the October financials or not? I mean,
I would prefer not.
Okay.
I would prefer Lori to take that over and not, because, you know, we want to, you know, there was too many corrections and we'd like to continue with, you know, the correct entries.
Right. Okay. It's fine with me.
Okay. Can I have a second?
Second.
All right. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
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 All those opposed? All right. The motion carries. All right, item 14, software upgrade. And Lori, you're up again.
Okay. Basically, the software upgrade is we only have one license for QuickBooks, and it's only relying on one computer.
Yeah.
Basically, it's the major computer that Tammy uses. I actually need to have another license on the laptop that I use.
Okay.
$350 is basically over the my budgetary limit of $300. I'm asking to get another license through, and it costs $350.
Right.
I think at QuickBooks you could have multiple seats.
You can, but it's not multi-user. Like, you need a different license for that. Like, it could be on multiple computers, but to use it at once.
Okay.
Right? That's what she's talking about.
Oh, I see. Because I do have...
Because the file has to exist in one place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then UIA will have to... We're going to volunteer to do some networking stuff to get all that working and secure here.
I got it. I'm just thinking of my business that I have. Two different companies going.
Right.
And she's going one, and that got...
Okay, all right. Okay. So you're looking for $350 for this additional license?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve that.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor of the motion for the additional QuickBooks license, say aye.
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 All those opposed? The motion carries. Okay, item 15, security cameras.
The board received one quote to replace and update the security cameras. I received three proposals to update the security cameras. The three quotes are attached in the board packet. I would prefer to go with CM installation. Based upon the quote that I got from them for $53.46, basically because there's also a quote following for bathroom programmable locks that they are actually the lowest bid on, and I'd like to keep the work. If you decide to do both projects, I'd like to keep the work with one vendor.
Oh, I see. Now, I got a few questions about the camera stuff.
Okay.
Have you seen the example? Have they given you a demo?
No, they did not give me a demo. We walked around the property. We talked extensively. Currently, three of the cameras are... We actually have four cameras. Three cameras are working. The one camera at the secure... The skate park is not working.
Right.
Various reasons why it could not be working. It could not be working because of the solar panel. It could not be working because of the Wi-Fi connection.
Yeah.
Various reasons.
And it's old stuff anyway.
Yeah, so it's old stuff. Basically, the cameras, if something were to happen, are not, they do not have the megapixels to actually look at somebody, should somebody commit something, and you could not get a good facial recognition on.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
That is not good.
I mean, that is my one comment on, and that is a big deal, is the resolution.
Yeah.
You know, people get cameras all the time, the resolution is so lousy. It's just, they're not effective.
Right.
So I don't want to spend money on something or that is just window dressing. I mean, it has to be effective. So I would like you to actually see it and be satisfied with it.
Actually, I misspoke. All the vendors actually did show me on their actual cell phones or their tablets when, as we were walking around various installations that they had in actual areas. And they showed me how they were working, showed me how they zoomed in, what they looked like, how they what the pictures looked like. So I did. I actually did see them in actual action, so
okay.
to speak.
Okay.
They have various warranties, various retention rates.
Okay.
And these are all new cameras. We're not using our old ones.
No.
These are all brand new cameras. Some of them are. I think one has a one actually has a new monitor even attached to it. The Turner Security has a new monitor even attached to it. CM is giving us a new hard drive, so it gives us new, they're all, actually they all have new hard drives. Gives us better retention. CM
so CM doesn't give us a monitor?
No, they're not giving us a new monitor. But they give us a new hard drive, so it gives us a new 90-day retention. Everybody else gives us 30-day retention.
Well, on page 47, it says 6 months. Is that a 6 month retention on some of these items? Is that a 6 month I don't understand what that 6 months means. It says 1080p for 6 months.
That's not anything. It's nothing that they're giving us because it doesn't have a number next to it. It doesn't have anything.
Zero.
No quantity.
There's no quantity next to it.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, all right.
Whatever we vote on, do we need to include whatever you call it, Wes, an attachment or something so that we can download our 90-day retention and keep it for future if we need it versus...
I think that
90-day retention.
I think that's our that's up to our retention policy.
Yeah.
You know, whatever we want for that. You know, whatever we think is reasonable, right? I mean, it's. I would think that beyond 90 days to actually, you know, go back. Hey, what happened 90 days ago? That's.
Because once
usually you want to see what happened yesterday. Like,
yeah.
Hey, this thing got stolen.
No doubt about that, but.
Or there was graffiti, and I want to go back and see.
Yeah, but you have to keep that.
I don't think you have
to keep
it. If
you're going to court or you're going...
Yeah, well, I have that.
You've got to have that aspect, don't you?
That incident, yes.
Can
you transfer the images from that incident and retain it like on a flash drive or something?
Oh, I would think so.
Like,
but that's a good question.
Download it onto an outside source.
I get requests at least once a month. Hey...
Right.
The camera is out on the street. I said, well, I only go to the curb, I don't go to the street.
Right.
And so I get those requests from CHP and from the sheriffs. And there's been twice in the last 15 years I did have a thumb drive. I pulled the image off and gave the...
all I'm saying is you know, that we should include that in whatever we're going to spend. I don't know what those things cost, if they cost $10 or $100. Something that you could download it to save, because at the end of 90 days, this is all gone, right?
Yeah.
Right, but usually what happens is they're going to ask a follow-up within a week or two. Anything past week 3 and week 12, it doesn't happen.
But you're right. You just go and select the clip and say, I want to save this, and it saves to your local computer. And then you put it on a USB drive or whatever.
Yeah, whatever those things are.
Yeah, that's all. That should be all built in.
Got it.
Can you specifically find that out though?
Yeah, I can ask.
Can we save clips?
Is that like a practice that people do? It's like once your 3 months is over, you download everything from the 3 months and keep it? Because like what if somebody fell down and broke their leg and then like a year later they said, oh, I broke my leg here.
Some talk of that. There was some talk of that. It could happen at the park. Or
so I'm saying, is there like the ability, like every 3 months, every 90 days, to take all of that data, put it on a thumb drive, put it away, and then start fresh for 90 days?
It won't fit on a thumb drive. That's
that
a lot of data.
For us right now.
What's that?
How's that working for us right now at the skateboard park?
Yeah. Well, we're talking about new equipment. Is that something that we want to have as a backup? Type of thing.
And you would need to have these really large drives that you routinely copied stuff to and everything. And I think that's just a lot of work, and frequently it just doesn't work. You're just not.
Well, I think Natalie's point though, Wes, is that you get into a civil suit or whatever they call it against the government type of thing. Somebody breaks the leg or that type of thing. Those things wouldn't even get to the court for a year. Probably.
Well, you can save them. This system would take care of that, okay? This system would work for that kind of a thing. If there was an incident, you'd have enough time to go and save the incident
out of it. Yeah.
Yes. The other scenario, though, that Natalie's bringing up is that what if we didn't hear about the incident? I don't know. A guy says, by the way, I hurt myself 8 months ago.
What day? I don't know, sometime in January.
It was day 91.
You know how much film you have to look at?
Yeah, it's... I don't know.
It can't be that.
Steve, do you have any knowledge on this as far as what you've seen run through the courts or what sort of dangers there are that way?
Yeah, the interesting question. For anyone that wishes to file a lawsuit against the district for damages, there is a provision of the government code called the Tort Claims Act, which requires that that individual file a claim with the district before filing a lawsuit. That way it puts the district board specifically on notice that there is this potential claim. And then the board has 45 days in which to act on that claim, either to accept it, reject, or deny, or compromise. And then once that, if a denial decision is made, then you send a letter, and that triggers a 6-month statute of limitations. So typically, you've got all of those things working in conjunction with what is generally a year statute. Could be 2 years on, depending upon the nature of the personal injury. So that's kind of what you're dealing with.
Is there any requirement, though, for them to report this injury within a particular amount of time? Let's say they're injured and they come back, and I hurt my back 8 months ago.
Yeah, so when filing the claim with the district, you have to identify what the injury was, the date that it occurred, the amount that you're requesting, if it's over $10,000, the name of the individual that is responsible for the alleged damage. So you do have to identify the date because that's important as part of the defense.
Right.
If you don't identify the date, then what the board could do would be to say that the claim is deficient as a matter of law. If that's the case, you have 20 days to notify that. So typically you would have to identify the date of the injury.
Well, not only that, wouldn't that hurt their case? Hurt their case a lot. Let's say if they did identify the date, but it was just a long time ago.
Then what you could do is you would be able to reject the claim as not being in compliance with the law. Now, keep in mind that probably what you would do in that situation is recommendation is generally would be to deny the claim and refer to the insurance carrier. So the carrier will be the one that will be handling these types of cases.
These things anyway.
And then they'll be providing the defense.
I see.
And probably paying out of their insurance money.
Okay.
So the obligation to defend would not normally be one in which the district would be
But we want to help as much as possible, of course. So what is the current retention of the system that you like?
The system that I like is the 90-day.
That's the 90-day retention?
Yes.
Sure.
You may want to contact SDRMA and see what they would like to have.
That's a good idea. Could you do that?
Yes, I can.
That's a really good idea. Thanks, Sal. Yeah, that's a great idea.
Next month.
I was just wondering if we're going to move on.
Are we in a hurry for these things, or should we wait? What do you guys want to do?
Next month.
I think the bathroom
locks
are real important.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's money.
All right, let's table this. Lori, can you get a price on what it would take for longer retention? Let's say we wanted it for 6 months, just if we did. What would that do to the price?
Okay. Thank you.
And our security company right now is Turner, right?
Right.
Right.
Any reason why you didn't want them? Or didn't want to recommend them, I should say.
No, the only reason I went with CM is because they're local, and I also like the bathroom lock. So I wanted to go with somebody that to do both projects. But
okay.
Are they state licensed?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So we'll table that till next time. Item 16, bathroom programmable locks. So describe how these locks would work.
Okay. The locks are on a timer. They're battery backed up.
So they're AC powered and they're battery backed up.
With battery backup, they
how long does that last?
The battery backup?
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a very good question. Question I'll have to ask.
Are all three quotes with batteries?
Well, they're
the three companies. Are they all?
They're all three the same type of kind of lock. They're not the exact same lock, but they are the same type of lock. I'm waiting on I did not get a proposal from Turner. Turner was supposed to give me one, but I still haven't gotten it yet. But they're basically supposed to be able to lock the doors at a specific time. There is supposed to be a push button. Should somebody get locked in, they should be able to unlock the door.
From the inside.
From the inside. And be able to get out. We should be able to set a time to lock the doors and unlock them.
What if it's a kid? I mean, this you know how does, I'd like to see how it works. You know, like how do you get out on this thing? I'd like to see that.
And would it be posted how to get out? That was my big question. It's like, what if a kid's there after dark?
Yeah,
and gets locked
that's,
in?
That could easily
it,
be a kid.
We
in
could
it.
We could put a sign in there. We
yeah,
could put a sign
have
in.
Have to. Yeah. You'd have to.
Scary.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could put a sign in there to say, you know, push button if the door is locked.
Is there a video or something? Is there something we could look at that says, here, like a YouTube video, here's how it works? Do they have that?
I found one on a website. It's called maglock.com.
Okay, but is it the same as these, though?
They're all basically the same type.
Okay.
Because I was describing them to people, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is this, or this is that. And they were all like, oh, yeah, they're all very, very similar.
Okay.
They had a different name for them, but they were all...
And they're on a timer.
They're all on a timer. And the one that... The maglock.com was the first one I found, but everybody that I talked to was like... They were all very, like... Yes, they're all very, very, very similar. They all work the same way.
Okay.
So, I got three different quotes. Like I said, Turner was supposed to give me a quote, and I haven't gotten it yet. But
okay.
CM Installation was local. They're the lowest quote. Timberline Locksmith is our current locksmith.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not going to go with, you know, using the same vendor, I would go with Timberline.
Oh, so he would just get these and put them in?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He gave me a quote.
It's handwritten.
Yeah.
Well, what size is he lives up here? He's, yeah. It's really, I mean, that is one aspect. He's really close, and if something goes wrong, he could fix it. Yeah. You want to come to that mic, Dustin?
Oh. Over at Hollywood Forever, we had a lot of these mad locks on different doors and stuff.
Yeah.
And they need constant maintenance.
Do they?
Anything that gets used or slammed.
They get out of alignment, stuff like that.
And they need maintenance on them. And if you don't, you got to put a maintenance contract in there with them.
Okay. Thank you for
Debbie.
That.
Good point.
Okay.
Good point.
That's another reason they use Timberline, I say.
I agree.
Yeah, local.
Because he'll come at 8 o'clock at night.
And I think having a sign and a phone number on the sign, in case they're getting locked in on both sides.
What's your number, Leo?
Yeah.
Number on both sides.
Right. And with the security cameras, I know we tabled that, but the way that we were going to set up the security cameras so that we had a view of both the men's and women's restroom doors, so that we could see those doors basically via the via my cell phone for the office, so I would be able to see those should I need to.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I like the idea though of having service.
So how much are these for programmable locks? You're still waiting on a price from Timberline, right?
Timberline is on here.
Oh,
it's
$1,920. Is that for both?
Yeah.
That's for both.
Wow, that seems pretty cheap.
Mm-hmm.
That's for both.
That's
door
both
locks,
both,
not
both
for
doors,
the security.
Both locks.
Right. No,
oh,
no, I
okay.
No, that is for both doors.
Yeah.
Currently, we're paying an employee half an hour every day to go back and lock those, which is an estimate of $2,600 a year.
Right.
So these programmable locks would actually pay for themselves within a year.
Right. Okay. Well, I think we should go for this. I think we should do this, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Can I have a motion then? We'll let you pick the bid. My preference is Steve at Timberline because he's local and he's
Can we
he's
get
on
him to quote the service aspect of it?
Yeah, I will ask him to add a maintenance contract.
Just to confirm, there will be a button on the inside of them if needed, or is that something we'd have to ask for extra?
I will make sure that there is
I believe
an
it's
emergency
built,
button, and
built
I will
in.
Actually add a sign on how to get out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, we got one more.
Okay, just one other thing. On these door locks, make sure you do have a battery backup, because we had a bunch that were not battery backup at first. And if we had a power outage, the doors were open.
Okay.
Ooh, okay.
Good. Well, it's kind of good if it airs on that side.
Yeah.
When it gets trapped in there. Okay. Well, you can get out anyway, I guess. But
yeah, I wouldn't want to get trapped in those bathrooms.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay,
all right. Can I have a motion to pursue the bathroom programmable locks?
With Timberline?
With Timberline, yes.
I'll second that.
Okay.
All right. All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right. Motion carries. Thanks, Lori.
I was about to ask, can we put signage on the outside of the door that say these lock at 6 p.m.?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Automatically locked.
Automatically locked, just so it's very clear.
Yes.
Okay.
No.
I have a fear of that happening.
No. If I could add one more thing, because when we have activities up there at school that goes on until 7:30, we should have those, if it's programmable, we should have those bathrooms locked at 7:30 then. Because what we have is, we have a lot of activities like flag football and things of that sort, and they come down here and the bathrooms are locked.
If we have
these activities going on up there.
If we are notified of it and we've got those programmable locks in there, We can adjust for those schedules, yes.
Yeah. Okay, but it does require some communication to make that work.
Yeah.
And that'll be with the
I wonder how many settings these things have. You know, how many different settings can you have for a particular day, or wonder if there's some limitation like that.
Because like Halloween's going to be coming up.
Yeah.
Right.
I would think you would
have to stretch the hours from 6 to probably 8 o'clock.
Well, we can find out.
Very nice.
I think you could plan for the events, but like for softball and flag football and all that, we've had porta potties like a lot over the last year, so that covers those late days.
Right.
So.
Right.
Probably good idea to keep those.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
At least when there's leaks going.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, item 17, credit and debit card acceptance. Who would this be with? This is with Square, or there was two vendors, right?
There's two vendors. One is with our bank, and one is with Square. We have a $5 monthly fee and a $49.95 annual fee. With Square, there's only a $49 fee, and that's for the chip reader.
Right.
So
it's just a one-time fee?
It's a one-time fee for the chip reader.
Okay.
I checked with Steve, Mr. Kennedy, and he agreed that we could do a $4, he agreed that we could do a service fee for people using the credit card.
Try to cover our discount?
To cover our discount.
Yeah.
And I estimated a $4 service fee should be able to cover our fees.
Okay.
And then we could look at it again in a year to see if we need to adjust that.
Okay.
And what would our bank give us for the reader? Would it just be like a little debit card reader?
It would be a little debit card reader. I am suggesting that we go with Square because it's going to give us the fees are a little bit higher, but it's not going to charge us the monthly or the annual fee. And not knowing how much we're going to do in volume, I think Square would be our better bet.
I mean, everybody's using Square.
And this is also will help support Monica's...
Right, yeah. That's, I'd say the main reason is Monica, but we can also use it for our rental fees for the building.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay,
you
want
a great idea.
Yeah.
I would like to move forward with that.
Okay, can I have a motion to accept the credit card, credit and debit cards?
With Square?
Yeah, with Square.
Yeah. So moved.
I second that.
All right, all those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? All right, motion carries. Okay, item 18, variance for Wrightwood Senior Advisory Group, discussion of possible action. So what is, there we go.
Hi, Vicki Reining. What we're doing, a group of us, we've been talking about it for the past 6 months, of organizing a group and doing an exploration of the possibilities of what it takes to obtain a grant, the procedure. We would all do this on a volunteer basis, and we want to meet once a month at the community building. Our ultimate goal would be to establish a 501c3 organization and applying for grants and eventually pulling that all the resources together to the CSD. So it would be falling under the Park and Recreation, I would believe.
For a senior center.
For a senior center. I have a number of professionals that are pulling their resources together that have been in other city councils. They've been in members of city councils. So we have expertise behind us.
Okay.
I think it sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, I like it. Thank you.
Well, I'm all for the advisory group, but I'm not for the waiver, not for the variance. I think we just hand these things out constantly, and I just think our rates are really reasonable. So I just don't agree. I think if it's a worthy group, then that group should be able to raise the money for it. Really, it's not that hard. That's just my position.
I see it as part of the park and recreation, and at the moment we have no funds. You know, eventually we will, and eventually we will pull those resources together with the CSD. But at the moment, it's all.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Well,
are you going to need the community center, or could you use the fire?
The fire station.
Do you have any
once
kind of
a month for an hour or two?
Yeah, but my question would be: do you have any idea how many members that you're going to start with, or?
Well, we have a sign-up sheet of close to 100 people that are interested in it and want to follow up on it.
But you're not a 501(c).
No,
currently.
That is our goal to work towards that. We'll be attending other senior organizations, one in Fontana that has a lot of ideas for us.
Okay. All right. Okay, thank you.
What's the Tammy, what's the availability of this building? Because they're saying, what, the fourth Tuesday of each month?
I saw on the calendar that particular day was open, there was nothing happening.
Okay. And I do think, just for the board, just for our discussion here, I do think that matters, and that value in money does set the use of the resource. In other words, if the resource is free, it'll all get taken up, right? If we constantly give out these variances, it'll just be taken up until there's no more spots on the calendar. And we have a limited number of resources. And to me, the volunteer organization, their ability to raise the money and pay the fee sort of votes that, right? It has that value. And when you just make it free, it doesn't have any value. And
well,
so it will just, let me, I'm sorry, let me finish.
Oh, okay.
And so it will just consume all the resources we only have this building and the fire station. That's it.
Yeah.
And the money brings clarity and makes it clear to the person who wants to rent it and to the board who has to look after the taxpayer resource. That's my principled approach to it. It shouldn't be on, hey, this is morally, we love this kind of organization. It's just great. They're doing really good work. It shouldn't be based on that.
My only problem with that, Wes, is we've already opened the door, and we've given it to organizations.
So we are. So
what's benefit
so
versus our, the seniors?
Well,
so we can do it for the kids.
I don't want to keep doing
it.
I don't want to keep doing it.
Well, I know you don't.
Okay. Well, that's my argument.
Right.
Is that just because we've done it before doesn't mean we should just keep doing it.
Right.
I feel like there's a variance here every single time, and the test for the variance seems to, and they're always linked to the Parks and Rec.
Right.
Which is nebulous, you know, let's face it, it's a made-up thing. And
well,
then,
personally, you know, if we're going in that direction, I just assume wipe out all the variances for all the organizations.
Yeah.
And everybody.
Well,
passed.
We vote on these every year. They
no,
don't.
No, we don't. We had the cultural thing with Laura Steinman that they had it the first year. I don't recall ever voting to reinstate their variance for the second year, which was every July.
But we can.
Which we didn't, though.
But
it's already been done.
But we can, and you're a board member, so bring it up. Okay. So, I mean, you can bring it up.
What we're talking about right now is for the seniors, and my opinion would be, yeah, give it to them at this moment in time. Now, that means they also have to have insurance and a deposit. I think we've seen on the thing that you guys gave us that some of the organizations aren't even doing that. They're not including the insurance or the deposit.
Isn't that one of the requirements? Those are the requirements, though, right?
Yeah, but it's not being followed.
Why not?
I don't know.
But can you give an example?
Yeah. Where's that sheet? You put it on the sheet, right, Lori? You know the one I'm talking about? Here it is, on here. It doesn't give a page. Back of page 12. What do we got? CERT, no deposit, no insurance. See, line dancers, no deposit, no insurance. It also gives you the date that it needs to be redone.
Yeah.
Historical society, no deposit. We don't have anything for insurance on them. It's over on July 20th, so that's out of compliance on that.
Okay.
I think that's a good point.
It is July 20th.
Oh, 20? Okay.
Yeah. So that's the year and the month.
Okay.
Is how that is.
So it is a requirement that we have this deposit and the insurance. And they really can't rent the building without it. So we have to enforce that. So we
That's
will.
For future, yeah.
Okay, we will.
So insurance, you got Music in the Pine. We don't show them having insurance. Maybe they do. I'm just going off of this.
Yeah.
Okay. But for right now, on this aspect, for a startup, yeah, I'd go for it.
In addition, I believe that if there's somebody who wants to rent the building and there's somebody who's got a variance, the renter gets
first choice.
Yeah, but if they're already on the calendar, how does that work? They just go, well, I want that date, and they can just trump on that?
That's what I was always told, yes.
Have you ever?
It is rare. I mean, it's rarely, but yes, we've trumped down door assignment a few times.
Yeah. You
know?
Okay.
And most are willing to work. You know, I mean, they get
okay.
it.
Okay.
That our income is the rental, and they will. We usually give them an option of another day.
Mm-hmm.
The building's not being used.
Mm-hmm.
And it's usually typically not an issue, but it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah. Okay.
But renters trump variance.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, how do we want to... You want to vote on this? Want to vote on this variance?
So, insurance?
Nope. No insurance. We have... Because we're just... We're brand new. I mean, we're barely pulling the group together. We might have it in a month.
Well, we've already said...
We won't have it.
We've already said you got to have insurance. You got to have it.
Can an individual carry the insurance? I mean, I've rented this building and had to carry insurance.
Yeah.
Unless your home policy has an attachment, I would have to look in that.
If you get insurance, I'll pay for the first year. I'll sponsor it.
That's nice. I appreciate that. Because we're really serious into this project, and... it will be a great benefit to the seniors. I know we have wonderful programs for the children, and that's great. And so I think we should look at the baby boomers now.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, all right. Can I have a motion to accept this variance then?
I don't think we need to.
I don't know that was...
Oh.
I'm paying for the first year.
Oh, okay. All right.
So there's no, okay.
All right.
What are you
they
paying
just
for, though? The insurance?
No.
No, he's paying
You're
for that.
You're paying the...
Paying the rental.
The rental. Oh, okay.
Yeah. All right. Okay, then. Thanks, Leo.
Yeah.
Okay, item 19, shooting range grant fundraising proposal. Al, that's you.
Mm-hmm. I guess not.
No.
Well, a lot more organized that things migrate. I'm not talking about shooting ranges tonight.
we're taking the shooting range off.
Yeah.
Is that
correct? Yeah. So Al, are we pulling the shooting range off then? Is that no longer?
It was my understanding that the board wanted me to hold off.
Mm-hmm.
There's been some community input on that. I think at this point it would make a confusion with the other things that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And we can always address it later.
Okay, so
it's not part of the grant process, this particular grant process.
I just need to move on from the agenda. So that one's gone. Okay. So this is about the next three agenda items?
Thank you.
What you're handing us here?
20, 21, and 22?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now, the agenda that I got didn't have them broken down like that, I thought.
I tried to combine them, but...
Yeah,
try to.
Good effort.
Vivian Knoll, that would be the big page.
Big page, okay. Is anybody need a break, by the way? Should I take a break?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Al, I don't. can we take 5 minutes here?
About 10.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow. Whatever you like. 23.
Leo, thank you.
Okay, return from break.
Aren't they on?
Yes.
No. Checking to see if it's on.
Did
I?
It just hammered on it.
Well, it's no doubt.
Anyway, thank you for inviting me. And I want to give you an update on the grant process. I think that's vitally important at this point. If you read the guidelines, there's no mention about a questionnaire. But there's a questionnaire that had to be filled out. That was really important that they base a lot of stuff on. And I found that out going through their website, going through their Q&A. Somebody had asked about that thing. So I contacted them. Questionnaire was due June 3rd. I contacted them about a week and a half, 2 weeks ago. And they had a whole list of who they sent it out to, and they never sent it to us.
Okay.
They gave us an opportunity to fill out the questionnaire, send it into them. And we've done all that. So we're good with that. What they're doing is they're taking the pool of money that they have, And they're giving out allocations, okay, based upon your per capita, your information that you have in the questionnaire. At this point, I don't know what that amount is.
This is for just Vivian, though,
this is for the whole grant bank.
This is for all three.
Yes.
So we don't know what that is, and when do you expect to find that out?
I'm gonna say within the next week.
Okay. All right.
It should be relatively soon.
Okay.
Because we're basically being guaranteed a certain amount of money.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to be assumptive in that because the lowest amount that they are requesting for grants is $200,000. And I asked them, is that your bottom line that you're going to be allocating out? And I could not get a straight answer.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, the people said this is the state setting these.
Yeah, this is all the
these amounts. Okay.
Yeah, this is all part of the guidelines and everything.
And I'm hearing that we're guaranteed at least $200,000.
I am believing that it's going to be $200,000. I don't know. It could be more. It could be less. I really don't know.
Well, I thought you said it's guaranteed at least.
No, what I said is I'm working off the fact that they're asking for a minimum of a $200,000 grant.
Okay.
So I'm going to be presuming that would be the minimum amount that they're going to allocate out. But again, I really don't know.
Okay.
Based upon that, we have three grant proposals.
Right.
That we've been working on. And it'll be up to the board to basically, depending on that allocation, choose one or two or three or whatever they want to do with the money.
Right.
We can run that process.
Okay.
So they will let you know in a week or so.
I'm hoping, yeah.
The total amounts?
The total allocation.
Allocations for us or for everyone?
For us.
For us. Okay.
Well, they'll let everybody know, and they have to post it on.
That people apply for.
This is before we actually put it in November 1st, is
correct
what you're saying.
They are coming up with a set amount of money.
Right.
Based upon population and some other factors about the community that at this point we don't know what that allocation is, other than that there is one.
Are they going to break it down for each one of these? Are they going to say, hey, it's 180 for that one, 200 for that one? Are they going to do that?
No.
Okay, so they're just going to say for these three.
They're going to say, they don't even know if we're going to get three.
Okay.
I haven't gone that far.
We're just saying for Wrightwood, we're looking at.
What I did was I called them when I found out about this questionnaire and I said, hey, you know, we're not on your list.
Yeah.
You know, what happened? And the lady that I talked with, who supposedly is running this program, she checked and she goes, no, somehow we missed you.
Okay, so the bottom line is we don't know where we're at yet.
We don't know where we're at with the money. Now, we do have three applications that we've been working on.
Okay.
The first one I'll talk about right now is the Vivian Knoll.
And again, just a comment, we could drop any of these anytime.
Correct.
Yeah.
You could drop them tonight.
Right. Or anytime we want, we could go, hey, you know what, we can't do that sports complex or whatever we decide.
Exactly.
We can cancel that, so that's not. And then your contract, I know the agreement, I should have put this agreement at the top of that, but on item 23, your agreement is, just to review, that should we cancel it or no, that's not right. If we cancel it, if we cancel it, then we'd still have to pay you. Is that right? No.
No, I'm kidding.
No. Let me make sure I understand this. So it's if the thing gets rejected, if proposal gets rejected, we don't pay you. Right?
If we take option one.
Correct.
Well,
we're getting ahead of ourselves.
Yeah, I know.
But you're correct, Russ. In that, if they don't pay with option one, you don't... you're not going to get billed for anything.
Yeah.
Option two, you get half up front. The other half, you don't get.
Yeah.
You get waived in option three.
Right, I gotcha.
But with this new information, we're assured a certain amount. We just don't know what that is.
I don't even know what that means. We're assured a certain amount.
Yeah.
I don't. You mean you're assured a certain. A certain potential budget should we qualify?
As we qualify for the community district.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
Now what we do with that amount of money is determined by the board. You know, put
right.
all into one grant. So.
I see. So, okay, let me play this back. Play this back.
Please.
So... they're going to come back with it. They're going to say Wrightwood is allocated X amount of dollars out of this program they've got, and that could be let's just invent a number. Let's just say it's $600,000.
Okay.
It's just an arbitrary number. So they're allocated $600,000. Then we have to qualify into that with a proposal and pull that off, or how does that work?
Correct. They're not just going to transfer $600,000 to our bank account.
Yeah.
We submit
a plan of one of these items, or
one or two or whatever.
Something.
And they'll review them, and then they'll say yes or no.
Yeah.
Did they approve that one or no?
Okay.
First
step is, what does Wrightwood qualify for money? And maybe it's zero. Maybe they go, man, you guys are just too rich up there. Okay, all right.
But we're not assured of anything.
It's not based upon income.
We're not assured of anything, meaning we still have to do the grant proposal or application by November 1st. And they can say no, so no matter what they allocated to us,
that could go away.
We're not assured of anything.
Well,
right. Right. They could say no. They could say, we don't like your...
That's a possibility.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Does it mean anything in your experience of grants that by doing all three could be detrimental to us versus one and going... You know, specifically on one with details?
I'm just thinking.
Yeah, no, I know that, especially if you play in the allocation, let's put it that way. And they allocate
in this particular case, because this whole grant system, this particular grant routine is different than all the other ones. All the other ones you submit, they give you the blah, 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 blah. Kind of based on what my proposal was.
Right.
This one here is saying, well, we're going to give you a certain amount of money, and then you show us what you can do with it.
Okay.
Wow.
Now, your meetings, the five meetings, we've already had one with
Correct.
The community.
Correct.
Where you got input as far as what the community was looking for.
Correct.
Versus each one of the three different grants.
Right.
And we've got
four more
Tammy?
We got one on Thursday.
This coming Thursday
here. We got one this coming Saturday here.
Okay, I thought one was on the 4th.
I don't
know
the dates off the top of my head.
Okay.
Tomorrow at 10, I think. I can go pull the flyer.
Wednesday. So we won't know. Well, we'll have a little bit more information next week when they do the allocations.
Yeah, I don't think there's anything to decide until we know more. There's nothing to decide tonight.
Right.
Because we got to get to this step first, and you know there's a time constraint, so we got to have the meetings,
right.
The community
yeah.
meetings, and that sort of thing on the idea that something.
Yeah, I pulled out the old capital improvement plans that you gave us a few months ago.
Correct.
And, you know, $147,000, and a lot of it is the community center upgrades.
Right.
And, you know.
Community building.
Community building, I should
Sorry.
Say. Yeah. So, I mean, there's stuff there depending on what our allocation would be to decide, do we want to go for this, or do we want to go for all three? Now, if they say our allocation is $4 million, then that puts it in a whole different category. No, I mean category in the sense of what we're going to apply for on the grants by November 1.
Yeah.
I would think.
Yeah.
You know, now, whether we get it or whether we agree to do that, that's, you know, the board
well,
decides later on.
I mean, it's already been a really long meeting, and I know this is, but
it's
really, there's nothing really more to do on this until we get that money amount, right? Until we learn more about this. There's really nothing more to do.
Do we want to try to set up a special meeting as opposed to waiting until October to get the ball rolling on
we
the
could.
Grants.
Could.
You know, it's a possibility.
Yeah, we could.
Or you could set up an ad hoc committee I could work with, and then based upon that, if there's a need for a special meeting, to go from there.
I think we would just do a special meeting.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would also like to see that the community has a chance to get input.
You do. You can come up to the. You know.
So then, you're taking records as far as everybody's opinion.
I will just say, as a matter of just record, you're not on record. I mean, if you want to come up and make a public comment at the mic and state your name and everything, I'm sorry, because it gets recorded and official. Okay. All right. Okay. I think that's it, Al, for now. And okay. Well, can we have a public comment on this, and then we'll talk about your agreement.
Okay, what comment do you want?
No, I want a comment from the audience.
From the lady.
Public comment. She wants a public comment.
How about if I step to the side?
Yeah, okay.
There you go.
Yeah.
No problem.
Hi, I'm Carol Bishop, and I just am very concerned that we have an opportunity for the community to express their support for possible grants, be it setting priorities, acknowledging what is needed the most, what might not be necessary to apply for even, and then also making sure that we're looking at the grants as far as, are they one-time expenditures, or is something being created that is then going to require more finances to support in the future.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, all right. Let's move down to item 23.
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. All right. So item 23, the different options. What page is that?
57. Start at 57. Just by way of background, the board will recall at the last board meeting, Mr. Morissette handed out the initial draft of his proposed consultant agreement. What I did with that, what you see in your agenda materials, is I used the district's more or less standard version of a professional services agreement, similar to the one that the board entered into with Monica.
Okay.
And I used that as a template. I turned Al's contract more into a scope of work, which would be attached as Exhibit A.
Okay.
The one area that and I didn't touch any of the language that I left in the scope of work. But I did indicate to Mr. Morissette that I'm unclear as to the compensation issues. I didn't understand what he was proposing in the way of compensation. So what he submitted back is also included in your agenda materials beginning on page 67, which is what Mr. Morissette was talking about as far as option one, option two, option three. So I think that's maybe perhaps where the focus of the conversation should be.
Right. So then we use this as a template to produce the final agreement.
Exactly.
Okay. And we pick an option.
And just to be pretty clear, along with Steve's comment, I reviewed everything and I was fine with it.
Now, Steve, what happens if we decide, hey, we don't want to do this? This is just going to be too much maintenance. We can't do this one. We can't. And then he's because this is broken up into three different distinct grants, right? So
right.
Let's say that we don't want number three. We don't want that sports complex. That's just way beyond our ambition, and we can't do that. So under the agreement, would we owe him for whatever time he spent on that?
Well, I think that's what's on the table.
Okay.
For
okay. 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 What are your thoughts on that, Al? Because what if we decide, you know, we can't do that sports complex?
Well.
And so it never reaches the approval stage. We never turn it into them. We never, and maybe we did turn it into them. Is there some?
Well, if it's turned into them and they reject it.
Okay. Then it's, I know that one. Okay. But this, these other two scenarios.
If you chose, let's just say this is the next meeting in October.
Yeah.
and you have all three of them laid out in front of you.
Yeah.
Which is going to be the case. I'm going to have everything right. pretty much done and laid out in front of you guys.
Right.
We can tune it up a little bit, but it's pretty much going to be about the way it is. If you chose not to do one for whatever reason, okay?
From the outset, you mean?
Right. Then that material remains mine. If you want to have that material for a future grant or for
would that be the case all the way through? So let's say we get cold feet, you know, so I don't know, a couple months from now or something, we go, ugh, we don't want to do that. And we just
see a couple months. So
these are all due on November 1st. Is
yes,
that
yes on November 1st?
Yeah, it's not even a couple months.
Well, then, you know, another scenario would be that the grant application is awarded, but the board does not wish to go forward with
right.
the project,
right?
Because there may be too many strings attached to the grant,
right? Because we don't know. So what happens then?
Remember, keep in mind, these are all going to require CEQA compliance. So you're going to have to,
correct.
There's going to be a number of stages down the line
yeah.
where there's going to be approval attached to it.
Right. Right.
And only one really has a potential CEQA issue.
Yeah.
The Hollis Stewart Park, the one for here, for Gibbon Knoll, they've already gone through that process. It would just be an exemption.
Yeah.
But the new one, the new part, that would be going through a secret process.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, what about the scenario? Let's say they approve it and we don't want to do it.
Well, what would you like to do?
Well, I'd like to not pay it.
If we have an allocation,
that's what I like to do.
If we have an allocation of, say, $400,000 they put in for us, do we still write three grants for $4 million?
That's up to you.
With the state? I mean, is that.
That's up to the board. But if they allot you $400,000, $600,000, whatever that arbitrary
right.
number is,
right?
Okay, and the board decides to take that number and spread it between all three grants, then yes. If you choose to put it all into one, there you go.
But if we choose to, based on what you've given us as far as the $500,000, and $2 to $3 million,
mm-hmm.
which versus our meeting is down to like $325,000 to $4 million and then $2 million,
mm-hmm.
even if the allocation isn't that much, we could still go out, or are we just kidding ourselves that they're going to turn around and go ahead and give us $4 million?
They're not going to give you anything more than what they allocate.
Oh. Well, that's a whole bunch of difference. Okay. So if they allocate $200,000, then we pretty much know we've wiped out the sports complex and one of the two.
Correct.
Either the,
so I think,
the refurbishing of this place or the other.
I think this whole thing, because what you have in front of you was based upon the prior knowledge. And now that we know that we have a set number, we just don't know what it is yet.
Right.
But we know that we have a number. I think it's fair to you, and I think it's fair to me, that if you want me to go ahead and go forward, I'm going to go ahead and forward with everything. Because come October, if we don't have everything ready, you're definitely not going to have it really all
ready. Well, yeah, you're not going to get it if you don't have something to put in on the first.
We have
yeah.
to have that. Now, with all that said, okay, I don't want to work for free.
Right.
Perhaps we come up with a default number.
Well, let me ask you this. How much have you already done? Mm-hmm. How many hours have you already put into it?
I spent about, I haven't calculated it, but about 40.
So we're already at 40.
Approximately. But that's divided between all three of us.
Right. But that's 40 hours already.
Correct.
What did we say last month? As far as when we asked you how many hours you thought it was going to take. Wes asked you.
I said 40 to 60 per grant.
Per grant.
Oh, okay. So, if we decide to go with option one, if we don't get anything, then you've done 40 hours for us at no cost.
And I'd not be a happy camper.
But that's right. One of your options you've given us, right?
Well, I think we need to pick up options off the table. I pulled those options off the table. Okay. I think that reality is that, I can't remember what the last one is.
Number three is 50% up front, 20% discounted rate, and the district takes full payment risk.
That's number two.
No, that's number three.
That's number three. Right.
Upon invoicing, the payment is due and whole at a 20% discounted rate. Or instead of $50 an hour, it'd be $40 per hour. But we pay the invoice at full rate. Option two was you take half, we take half. Option one is you take all, risk-wise.
Okay.
Is what I'm reading that you gave to Steve.
Yeah, but at the full 50.
I'm sorry?
At the full 50.
Oh, yeah.
And then option two is the half and half.
The $45 an hour. Yeah. And the other one is $40 an hour.
Well, why don't I do this? I'm going to give you option four. Because that is fuller than the alpha. Option four would be I've got basically 40 hours. Okay. At the $40 rate. So, if you guys choose not to do anything, you know, let's put that in for my efforts. I'm going to continue doing what needs to be done. But from this point on, okay, I'm sure that I can really trim numbers back. Now, if you choose, and I'm going to show you for each grant what's involved, okay. So if you choose to, and it's just plain illogical that you don't do one for whatever the reason is, you know, but it's plain as logical. Let's just say the new court. Let's just say it's just not going to happen right now. Okay? Or we can't meet the maintenance needs. There will be new maintenance there. These other two, the maintenance cost is going to be pretty much a wash.
Right.
Okay, but that one there, you're going to have something new.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you guys want to hold off on that now, that's fine. If you want to hold off on that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, what if we do this? What if we do this?
Okay.
What if we do option one here, but there's the clear up until the time that we turn it in. Mm-hmm. Right? So if we turn it in, and we get cold feet and we're awarded, we'd still owe you. We'd still have to pay it. We still have to pay it, okay, all the way through. But clear up until the time we turn it in. If we decline to turn it in, then we would not owe you in that case. Would you do that? Because they're all kind of three on the same sort of track, or is that just not fair? I mean, if it gets rejected, you're not going to get paid on option one already. But you know, I don't know. I just
if you choose, I know where you're going with this one, and I can understand it quite well. If you choose one and not the other two, let's just forego those other two. Yeah, you know, there will be no billing on those. We'll just bill for one. And you'll know what those numbers are because I'm going to give them to you.
Okay, so
you, if you don't do any of them, then, you know, at least pay me something.
Well, option one, if we don't get a grant, even though we're allocated, as an example, 200,000, we put it in and they say no. Option one means you don't get paid. That's what you're saying you can work with?
I'm saying there is no option one, two, or three.
Okay. So you're okay. So
this
I didn't understand that.
Okay. Because we know that there is a certain amount of money. Now, I don't think it's fair to me, to you, if I say, well, gosh, you have $200,000, you better do all $3,000. That's not right.
No.
That's not the purpose of this whole thing. I'm not doing this out of greed or anything else. Yeah, I'm doing this because I'm trying to do something good for the community, just like you guys are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I'm missing the allocation versus the other, because if we get allocated $200,000, how could we put in for $3,000? When we know they cost anywhere from $3,000 to $4,000.
You're going to find that out in a week or so.
And we won't. We
and,
will decide which
that,
one we want to put
point.
In for. And we'll say,
right.
Oh, we're only getting $200,000. We can only afford this. So let's just move forward with one option.
Right.
Or move forward with three options and put a little bit of money in each. But that's not
that
going to make
be,
any sense.
Yeah, that would
it
does not make sense at all.
Yeah.
And to be quite honest, I'm going to recommend that you wouldn't do that. You know, if the allocation is small, $200 or whatever it is, then you should just go with one.
So how confident are you that they will give you a number next week?
Is that what they implied?
I'm
going to be counting them
for
the next
until
they do.
Yeah, but we don't know. I mean, Chuck, you know.
I mean, it could drag out.
Sure, of
yeah.
course. So what?
There is a process of doing this already. And we came in late because we have a caveat that got us through the door.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we wouldn't even have this discussion.
My point, Wes, is if it is $200,000 and that's it, well, we can stop, you know.
We just don't submit
the sports complex and then make a decision between the kids' upgrade or the upgrade of the infrastructure.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know, type of situation. So we wouldn't be in that position of him still working on the other two grants when we're not going to go for him anyway.
But we might not know until the day he
Well, that depends
they give,
on
they give
whether
the
we
C in writing? Do they give the C in writing? They don't just call you on the phone and go, hey.
Just in an email. I don't remember it was in an email. Yeah, I believe it was in an email.
I mean, isn't it, don't they have some official release like CASIF does? Don't they put this out in some public list somewhere?
Yeah,
hey.
They have a list.
Okay.
That's not public yet. Because they're still in the process. They have a really long list of allocations.
Okay.
Of places that they're considering.
Okay.
And we added ourselves to that list.
All right.
Now, it's not that we're going to get zero. Whatever they think. They have a matrix that they have to adjust and work through. And they have to be fair to everybody based upon the certain couple criteria that they had in that questionnaire. The primary criteria was population.
Okay. Well, I really think for tonight we've got to push this off until we find out what that is and what we think we can do with it. So I think we need to push this off until we have our special meeting, until you know more about this.
Okay.
Will you tell us when you're going to know something and bring us something in writing and
absolutely.
something official? Would you let Lori know and then we could try to get a special meeting going?
Well, I'll let somebody know because she might be on vacation. But
that's true.
Yeah. But
would you let me know? I mean that's fine.
Sure.
Right, Steve? That's
yes,
all right.
Yes, I think that's actually the proper protocol.
Okay.
The two ways you can call a special meeting are for the board president to do it or for a majority of the board.
Yeah.
Correct.
So I think
yeah.
notifying
that's
the board
right.
president.
It would be a special meeting here, correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's 24-hour notice for the public.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Because there's no use in having Al do the work on something that we're not going to apply for.
Yeah, I don't want that.
Yeah,
I don't want that.
You know,
it's not fair to right. Okay, let's do that.
But I'm going to go ahead and have those public meetings.
Yeah, I think that's low.
That you're telling me to hold off on the rest of the process?
Well, I don't know what the rest of the process. It seems like if we don't have option one anymore, then we're on the meter.
Well,
You know, the flag is up and it's just taken away. So we don't know. We don't know what to do with that because I don't. We don't know what they're going to allocate. We don't know anything about it.
But in between now and the time that you find out how much is going to be allocated, will there be any delay in what you need to do to prepare all three in the event that we get a large sum of money? Like if we told you to stop what you're doing now.
Let's put it this way. If I stop what I'm doing now, okay, then whenever that meter starts running again, it's going to really push the line.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2 weeks out, 4 weeks out, whatever it's going to be. Okay. I have no control over what they can do in Sacramento other than I can be that, you know, pain in the ass.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, what has been done during the 40 hours now? I mean, do you have plans as far as what each grant would look like or what kind of, other than the 2009?
I have pretty much the Hall of Steward done.
Oh, the kids park, yeah.
The kid park and all that. I have that pretty much done.
Okay.
Other than I still need to get some numbers for the cost. This one here, there's still quite a bit of work left to be done on the building part of it. Okay.
Well, so I know you had a lot of input at the last community meeting as far as
we
the upgrade,
really good input.
The upgrade of this facility. Right. And when I say that, I'm talking the bathrooms, the septic tank, the parking lot, the building itself, the community center here.
That's big
new
work.
New windows, new doors.
Yeah.
A lot of the stuff that's on our capital improvements list, you know, type of
right.
thing.
Yeah.
And you
right.
got four other meetings. You know,
right.
Now, if we hold those to an hour and cut them off at that time, because right now we're at $2,000. Okay, well, there's been a lot of work.
And that's about
done.
40 hours on, like you was mentioning, takes about 40 hours, 50 hours per grant.
Yeah, I'm not downgrading that aspect of it.
Right.
And, yes, you should be paid. I would like to see the breakdown of, like, what you just told us. Hollis is this, and this is what's been done. This is what we're looking at. You still have to get the cost, but... How much did the swings cost? How much did the jungle gym? You
well,
know, all the stuff
all
we're going to
That's all
create.
Going to be on the grant.
That's all in the grant application. That's all in the whole thing that I'm working on right now.
Right.
My point is that we know that we have an assurance of a certain amount of money. We just don't know what that amount is.
Right.
That to the side, if you guys are telling me to keep on going forward, and filling these applications out and working on this stuff, I will. But I don't want to do it absolutely for nothing.
Understand
there
that.
Should be some benefit to me.
Right.
Okay? That's why I came up with, well, why don't we just say, on a minimum, 40 hours. I'll be happy with that. Even though I know I'm going to be putting in 100.
So let me make sure I get this right. So you're saying if we... if we bail out of this completely, you would just like to be paid a minimum of 40 hours of work.
Right.
While you're still working towards
otherwise
the
be
other
put
stuff
on.
You have to do.
The brakes are going to be put on right now. I'll do the community meeting because I don't want to mess that up. But I'm not going to keep on...
Well, actually, it'd be the maximum. So the maximum we would pay is 40 hours for if we bailed out of the whole thing. Like, hey, we can't do any of this
Correct.
Stuff. It's crazy.
I think that's fair.
Yeah. I do too.
Okay, then I'll just continue doing that. And we'll have a gentleman shake on it. And Steve, you can just kind of build that in there. But
what am I building? A 40?
40-hour max. That's the confusing part. So it's got to be... It's got
to
be...
$40 an hour up to a maximum of 40... 40 hours.
Well, he's already got the 40. He's already done.
No, but that's what he's saying. He's saying, look, I'll continue on this deal, but I can't do this for $0 if the board just bails out of the whole thing. So I'd like a minimum payment, you know, for this work I'm doing.
Which he's already done.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. We're just agreeing to pay him for that.
Right.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And we don't want him to work on anything new until we get a number of allocations?
No,
well,
he would continue,
but
if we bail and he
bail out, we wouldn't know him for that.
So the unknown is really this next week until you get the
we bail allocation. On the park. We bail on the kids.
No, we bail on the whole thing.
The whole thing.
Yeah. The whole thing.
You still owe Al that money for the 40
hours. No, I understand we owe him the money. He's already done the work. But what I don't understand is we're waiting on an allocation that hopefully will come to give us some type of an idea what we have.
Yeah, because if the allocation is $200,000 and we're going to say don't do this one, don't do that one,
exactly.
can't do the sports complex,
right.
That'll help refine it for us.
But we could do one of them.
But then it's already there. He'll already get paid for that one.
And we wouldn't pay him for the stuff for this building if that's what we ended up the only one that we did a grant on.
Maybe a little clearer for you, Chuck. The guaranteed 40 guarantees you that you're going to get 3 grant applications complete and full. Now, if you choose not to implement any one of those, or 2 of those, or whatever, that's up to the board.
That's okay.
That's
easy. That I can write.
Yeah.
All this other
and
stuff
just
is 40 hours. It's $40 an hour for
40 hours.
And the Jeff and Mr. Morissette presents the board with
three grants
and the board decides with
no, 40.
40.
I
know you got 40 hours into it.
No, 40.
Yeah.
$40 an hour.
You're catching me on a good day.
Yeah. So what do we do, Wes, right now?
We have Steve
approve
the agreement with that stipulation. Yeah.
There we go.
Okay. All right. Can I have a motion to?
Can we go through the agreement then?
Well, Steve's already worked on it.
Yeah, just a couple of questions.
Okay.
That's all.
Okay.
On article page 77, article 4, completion schedule. And notwithstanding the above, the provisions of section 1.3, 2.2, 2.3, I couldn't find those first 3 sections. I don't know if this is from another contract and we just didn't do those. Maybe I'm just missing.
No, you're right. That's a good spot. That's from... That's from provisions that were removed.
From another contract.
Yeah. Okay, good.
And then the other one was ownership of the software. So we've agreed to pay him the $40 for the 40 hours he's already done. Correct? Isn't that what we just agreed to?
A minimum of $40 or 40 hours. That's right. That's right.
Basically,
yeah.
Because
you've
done that.
The invoice yet. I mean, so.
No, but I think
that's true. The way I was writing this, he will be providing you with 3 grant proposals at a cost of $40 at a maximum of 40 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Even though we might tell him later, don't worry about the parks and rec, because we're not going to get that one.
That's up to you.
Obviously, it would have to be.
But he's going to provide those proposals.
Okay.
With applications to you, and then the board will decide.
Okay. Then going to 6.12, ownership of software. It talks about Al giving us, copy of the software and distribute a desire to exercise the rights granted herein. B, consultant retains its entire right, title, and interest in the software developed under this agreement.
I mean, this isn't a software agreement. I don't really...
Yeah, I could just delete that.
Yeah.
I didn't know. This actually is not in Monica's agreement. I plugged this back in for the standard agreement because I didn't know in what format...
What it was. Okay, yeah.
So I could take that out.
Okay.
And then the other one, just for my own curiosity, on the first page, page 75, it says... Whereas consultant holds itself as a duly licensed, qualified, and capable of performing. What's the license for doing a grant? I'm just curious why.
I'm a certified grant writer.
Really? There actually is a license for that.
Wow.
That's a good. I pay a fee on it this year.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
So the government sticks everybody.
The tax.
Unbelievable. And I was just curious. I was, that, you know, nothing to change, Steve. I was just curious.
Okay.
As
far
as
thank you
that,
for those
yeah.
points. Those excellent points. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well.
So are we...
Do we just give you direction on this to do this agreement, or do we really need a motion? I mean, we just need
well,
to...
Well, yeah, you would definitely... The board needs to approve it, whether you want to approve it with the direction...
I think we could approve it during a special meeting, couldn't we? Would that
yeah,
be all right now? Could we do that?
If you want to see the final language, that's... Certainly
yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Can we do that?
Sure.
Okay.
So that...
That seems prudent. You can tell it's a late meeting. There's nobody here.
Yeah.
Wow, there's very few. There are people. Okay. Okay. All right. So future board meeting, October 1st, 2019. Is that right?
That's right.
All right.
So we should have the September financials, but we won't have, obviously, October
right.
financials. Okay.
Right. Why would we have that? Okay.
You'll have August and September.
I don't know. That's pretty soon to have September, isn't it?
It'll be close.
Okay. Okay. All right. Director's comments?
I have none.
Nothing tonight.
Nothing for me?
Yes, I do.
Actually,
okay,
thank
go
you.
Ahead.
I do want to say...
Why not?
Okay.
Okay, for the... I'd like it on the agenda because we can't discuss it here now. But something on the agenda is right now we're paying Tammy the $15 an hour and we're paying John $15 an hour. John is our parks person. He was brought in at $13.50 approximately 3 months ago, something like that. And he was given a $1.50 raise. He's up to $15 an hour now after 3 months. I don't believe...
He was brought in at $15.
I think we should...
No, it was $13.50.
They could bring it up into the next
yeah.
meeting.
That's all I'm asking for is to put this on the agenda.
Just put it on the next... Yeah, we don't want to discuss it. Let's just
okay.
get it on
yeah.
the agenda.
Just
yeah. All right.
A look at her salary
okay.
and the salary of the.
How about employee salary review?
Yes.
Just put that on the agenda.
Her range or whatever.
Karen, how did are you?
Yes, you're making too much money.
And I think that needs to be looked at.
Okay.
The range.
Okay.
Personally.
Okay, we'll get it on there.
Okay. And I wanted to say thank you, Al, for all the work you've done so far on
yeah,
this.
Yeah,
I'm
I think that's
excited
right.
excited to see
thank
what,
you, Al.
What's going to happen.
Yeah.
There will be a miracle.
And I want to say that Al is an expert grant writer. He is, for sure. And he's written many grants and gotten lots of successful grants for Phelan Pinion Hills, for all over.
Oh, the one thing I also wanted to say was Mike and Sean, the hardware store, is having their customer appreciation on Friday the 13th, and wanted the public to know, but
okay.
there's something I think we should support that.
Okay. All right. If that's it, it'll be meeting adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.